Hey everybody, Sean here. Just wanted to let you know that we accidentally spoiled part of the Jason Bourne plot in this episode. I don't think that hearing it will in any way ruin your enjoyment of Jason Bourne, but just wanted to let you know if you are the rare Bourne franchise plot purist that we are going to give something away later in this episode. If that's you, whoever you are, you're definitely safe for at least the first 20 minutes or so. Sorry about that, and enjoy the show. My name's Sean Collier here. What do we determine this is called? MacGuffins.
Oh, that's right. We're it's back called at MacGuffins now.
MacGuffins. Otherwise known as the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 Party Room, Champagne Room, Lounge, Cinema Lounge, Film.
That's all the names.
Look, I just don't want to talk about Jason Bourne. But don't turn off this episode. We're going to find something to say.
We're going
to
talk about all sorts of things.
This is freeform. This is going to be a stream of consciousness movie talk.
I'm okay with that.
Why? Because our one-word review of Jason Bourne is just a sleepy noise. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, July the 29th, 2016. My name's Sean Collier. Here's Aaron Kleiber.
Hey, guys. And it's the 29th. I'm in Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah.
And tomorrow.
Go see Aaron.
You just said July 29th, and I was like, Milwaukee. That's what my brain said.
Hey there, cheeseheads.
You said stream of consciousness, so anything that reminds me of anything, I'm going to talk about it.
Do you think cheeseheads is an enduring term? Is that like yinzers, or is that like being derogatory?
No, I think cheeseheads is like, oh yeah, like hardcore fans of the Packers.
Like yinzers or Hoosiers or...
Sure, yeah, Hoosiers is more...
Yeah.
Yinzers is kind of... I always say sometimes yinzers is like... Like the redneck of Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I see that more of that.
I mean, we say in that ironically. That's what makes us cool.
That is correct.
But yeah, go see Aaron in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
While we're on it, what else you got?
Then the week after that, from the 3rd through the 6th, I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas. I have no idea how many fans that listen to movie reviews are from Little Rock, Arkansas, but guess what? That's where I'm going to be. And then the week after that, from the 11th to the 14th, I'm at the Houston Improv. So Milwaukee, Little Rock, Houston, holler at your boy.
I, of course, always have plenty going on for our hometown listeners. I want to make sure I mentioned Friday, August 5th. That's a week from today. I always do a great benefit for an organization called Morningside Mile. It's a yearly charity race, but then they have a bunch of other events, and they pick a great veterans cause every year. And I don't mind telling you, I as comics, we end up doing a lot of benefits.
Sure.
This is one that I do for free, and I always just try to do everything I can for them because they're always just doing great things for always a veterans cause that is, you know, needs a little bit more attention. And that is in Morningside, the Morningside VFW in Pittsburgh. And that's a cool neighborhood if you're not getting out there. And I'll be joined by Terry Jones.
Oh, nice.
Suzanne Lawrence. And your headliner, a Pittsburgh guy that came up here and then went to New York and always doing great things, Jesse Joyce is going to be headlining that show.
It's a really great show.
Yeah, that's going to be a good lineup on August the 5th. And also on August the 5th, we'll have an episode about Suicide Squad. Aaron will be in one of those places he just mentioned.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but I'm going to get some guests in here and we're going to have a great time talking about Suicide Squad. So look forward to that.
When does Suicide Squad come out?
That day, Friday, August the 5th.
Man, I'm going to have to see that while I'm in Little Rock.
You know, I want to as much as I think DC just does not know what they're doing, every new trailer or clip I see, it's like, that's pretty.
Yeah, you know,
it looks pretty good.
They're gonna screw up the story. There's too many characters. They always put too many characters in. And you know, I think I'm gonna enjoy some individual things.
I think I'm
really gonna enjoy Jared Leto.
Yeah, I'm sure Margot Robbie will be great.
I'm sure she'll be great too.
And I bet you Will Smith will be good because you know he usually hits the right charming.
Really haven't seen him in an action movie in a long time.
There was that one that came out. Sometime.
Wild West?
No, there was one that came out either the beginning of this year or the beginning of last year with Margot Robbie, and they were like men.
That's right. Welcome to Earth, where he said that one.
Yeah, that one. What the hell was the name? It had a one-word title. It was like Pulse, but it wasn't
Pulse.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Thrive or Strive or...
That just reminds me of... This is Stream of Consciousness episode.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Bill Hader when he's that, like, tour guide from New York.
Yeah.
He's like, and the new gay club is called Thrive.
Stefan is legitimately my favorite SNL character.
One of the top 10 characters of all time.
Oh, it's so... Our friend Abby Fudor was asking a couple weeks ago, what's the thing that you laugh at every time, even if you saw it a million times? That's a Stefan bit.
Oh, yeah.
All he has to do is say the name of the club and list the things that are in there. Orange juice, purple stuff, my mom. Like, I will laugh at it every time.
The name of this new club is Quirg. And Quirg is filled with aliens who drink their own urine.
I still haven't determined the name of this Will Smith movie I'm thinking of.
Flurk.
Blart.
Slick.
Paul Blart. Focus.
Focus.
That was the beginning of 2015.
I was going to say Ferg.
It was Margot Robbie, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're reunited, those two. So, if you couldn't tell by declaring that it was a Stream of Consciousness episode,
right?
We do not care for Jason Bourne.
No.
It's... Like, it's Jason Boring. That's why I'm a comic.
Talk about Jason Bourne, more like Jason Snorn.
That was probably a better choice.
Jason Snorn?
I can't believe how boring that movie was. For an action movie that was...
We should save this for like 10 minutes later. It's only 7 minutes into the podcast. Hey, guys. This might be a 14-minute podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna depend on how many more random connections we can make.
Let's play the association game. I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I told Sean, I'm like, I very rarely, you know, a lot of the movies that we see, you know, going to screeners and, you know, being able to see new movies every week, usually I'm pretty excited to see them.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I'm very interested to see that. I like to see a lot of movies.
Right.
Or if it's like, this is going to be really bad, I'm interested to see how bad this is.
Yeah.
This was, I had expectations like, oh, this will be a fun action movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with some Bournes. They're whatever. I have not been crazy about all of them. I know some people are like, oh, dude, they're my faves. Well,
yeah, I never got that. No. As long as these have been out, people have been saying, oh, my, I love the Bourne movies so much. And I just
think... But why?
I think they're so forgettable.
They are. And you can't give me a reason why. Like, it's not... I mean, sure, they have some twists. There's some cool action. And, you know, honestly, I think that, like, for me, the Transporter movies are better than the Bourne movies, personally.
I think the Transporter ripoff movies are better than the Bourne movies. Like, Jason Statham is a guy on a mission. That is better than the Bourne movies every time.
They're making a The Mechanic sequel.
That's why I was thinking of The Mechanic. The Mechanic was more interesting.
Can't wait to see the sequel.
That was much more interesting than this.
Yeah.
I remember my freshman year roommate reading the Bourne novel. The first one is based on a book, a pulpy book.
But that sounds like it would not be a bad book.
Probably not. I just don't understand how anyone saw any Bourne movie and went, I need more. I need more of this. It's you know what I was thinking in there? It's like watching like CSI or Law and Order. Like, it's just But just a wash of
but
like.
But you mean just the walking and talking on the phone parts?
Yeah, see, a minute ago, I was about to be like, oh, this is action-packed. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Like 60 minutes of this movie is...
walking.
Do you have eyes on him? No.
No.
He went over to the... okay. Alpha team, go. No.
Do you see Jason Bourne?
Alpha team, Bravo team.
Bravo team, do you see Jason Bourne?
Do you see... we have eyes on the... enhance. Enhance.
Please.
This is a movie with an enhance scene.
When they...
I'm sorry, Lowe's.
When they have a blurry-ass photo from a satellite in space... and they hit enhance,
oh my God.
You can see the whiskers on someone's face is the silliest shit I've ever seen.
Every technology, you might as well be watching Star Trek.
Oh, like their facial recognition software. This isn't spoilers, but it is. But who cares? Like someone types in white woman, ages 30 to 39.
Who was in Iceland. And it goes, it's Julia Stiles. Like that.
Dude, I think I like elbowed you and I was like, what? That's not real.
Everything, like, so there's always the team on the ground, which is just two bearded dudes walking, power walking in the direction of Jason Bourne.
Yes.
And then it cuts back to Alicia Vikander and Tommy Lee Jones at like NASA at Houston.
Sean, it's Langley.
Sorry.
How did you forget that it's Langley, Virginia?
They made it very clear.
Since there were 17 establishing shots of the CIA headquarters that said Langley, Virginia.
It's like, yeah, I know, Homeland. Yeah, I watched the first couple seasons before it got bad. I get it. But yeah, no, and then it cuts back to them, and every time she's just like, I'm accessing the mainframe of the security cameras from the spy satellites in Russia. And it's just, okay, here we know exactly where everyone is. And we somehow have a GPS of every person who's interesting to this scene.
Yes.
With their projected routes, like they all just got in Ubers right before the scene started.
Also,
Gad.
Also, by the way, spoiler alert, not really. But I thought it was really funny, and this is getting towards the end of the movie, and you see in the movie they make it to Las Vegas. But I love how Jason Bourne and other CIA operatives can dodge CIA operatives and military, but the Las Vegas Police Department is right on their tail.
Yeah. SWAT teams, black ops agents.
Like, yeah, I was like, but... Carl
LVPD
sergeant for LVPD.
Oh my God!
Is right on their tail. I mean, like, I thought that was kind of silly.
Let's tell the people. Let's tell the Bourneheads, the Bourneians, the Bournegans. That's what they're called. Let's tell the Bournegans. Why is it boring? You just have to trust me that it is. But to you,
yeah, trust us.
Why is it like that?
For me, look, I have always been not thrilled by... Here's why I say that I believe Jason Statham action movies of the same ilk are better for two reasons alone, okay? I'll give you three reasons. Three reasons why Jason Statham action movies are better than these Jason Bourne movies. One, Jason Statham has way more character than Matt Damon as Jason Bourne does.
There's no character.
He doesn't move his face.
That's the defining characteristic of the character, that he's a blank slate.
Yes.
So I'm not interested.
Exactly. Jason Statham has a great little grit and wit. Number two, I believe a lot of the action movies he's Jason Statham in, the plots are pretty simple. It's like, sure. I gotta get this girl back to her father. I have to get this briefcase to the boss.
Yeah.
I have to keep my heart pumping because I have a bomb on my heart or whatever Crank was.
And,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's simple.
Oh, Crank was so much fun.
It was fun.
Compared to this movie.
Right.
And I mean, like, something like that's not a good movie. I wouldn't be like, oh, Crank, they nailed it. But it's like, oh, it was different and interesting and weird and fun.
But like,
it was kind of crappy, but it was fun.
Yeah. This,
you know?
This was all the boring parts of Spy Game.
Yeah. It's
dude, Robert Redford was more entertaining than Jason Bourne.
I said last
week,
at the end of whatever we did an episode on last week, Oh, Lights Out / Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Watch the first two episodes. They're great. Yeah, I know so I promised good. I would do all eight before we recorded this, but, you know, I'm busy. I'm doing things.
I understand.
Running around.
Watching wrestling for 6 hours.
I am watching. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Dude.
Actually, now that I think about it, you probably did 6 hours of wrestling this week.
Let's
you
see.
Might have.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Between, well, live.
Live.
Dude, you go to Raw, it's 4 hours.
That's crazy.
That was the best. Here, stream of consciousness. That was the best Raw I've ever seen.
Wow.
That was, I've probably been to Raw 20 times, 25 times.
Wow.
Raw was in Pittsburgh last night. Sasha Banks beat Charlotte for the women's title in an amazing 20-minute match. It was fantastic. There was two great four-ways, and then Finn Balor beat Roman Reigns. And you probably don't have any idea what I'm talking about, listener, but if you've never watched wrestling before and you watch this week's Raw, it'll be more entertaining to you than Jason Bourne. That's the point.
Last time I was at a live Raw was, honestly, I think 3 years ago in L.A. or 2 years ago in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've got this Royal Rumble streak. You're aware of this?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I've been to the last three Royal Rumbles, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and then Orlando.
Yeah.
And I went this year to Orlando, and I went to Disney World. We've talked about this
by
on
yourself.
The podcast. Yeah. Because I'm a grown man and I enjoy fun things.
You went to Duff.
I went to Universal Studios. Went to Springfield.
Yeah.
And had a Duff. And I was thinking, you know, I'm going to keep going to the Royal Rumble, but it's going to be sad if I can't go to like these big theme parks.
Right.
Like that was a cool part of the trip.
Right.
Rumor next year's in L.A., so I'm going to Disneyland and Universal Hollywood.
There'll be some other things to do.
There are other things to do in L.A.
Universal Hollywood's not that great.
Is it not good?
I've heard it's not great. From a lot of people.
Well, there's no Springfield. There's no Simpsons.
No. Third reason why.
Oh, okay. We're still on Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Third reason is the fight sequence editing.
Oh, it's terrible.
Since the first Bourne movie, I have really been annoyed by the fight editing. I'm a huge fan of Jackie Chan,
mm-hmm.
a huge fan of Bruce Lee. I'm even a huge fan of Steven Seagal action movies.
Under Siege?
And sure. What I mean is that this is when stunt guys and the stars of your movie could fight. They at least know how to choreograph fights, and the camera would be medium or wide, and you could really see the fight scene. And it's really cool. I mean, have you ever noticed how wide a fight scene camera is on Jackie Chan movies?
You can see the whole
fight. It's amazing.
Which is a complaint of mine about every movie. You know, I do not...
Well,
I've never liked shaky camera. I've never liked quick cut edits. I've never liked being right in on someone's
pores. I'm going to be honest
pores.
With you. I have... Bourne was one of the beginners that started this. You know that.
Oh, Paul Greengrass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really frustrating. And I think like Jason Statham, I think he's like an eighth degree black belt in jiu-jitsu or something like that. I mean, he knows how to, you know, fight. Oh, he was British special services.
Oh, is that true?
Jason Statham, I'm pretty sure.
That's another name you have trouble with.
Jason Statham?
Yeah, if you go quick.
Jason Statham?
No, you get a lot more.
Jason Statham.
You get lispy if you go quick.
That's
you go
right.
You go towards Jason Statham.
Where's Jason Statham? I'm going to kiss him on the mouth. I don't care. Well, now I'm like, okay, what year was the first Bourne? I mean, God sakes. I mean,
I mean, I don't get the philosophy. I get that it creates this style, the quick cuts, the really frenetic editing, the camera bouncing all over the place. I get that it creates
2002.
It creates the illusion of a certain frantic thing.
Well, yeah.
But how is that not you covering up? How is that not you saying, I don't know how to create that tension and drive without just using the camera to fake it?
Right.
And I know, look, filmmaking is faking, but like you're talking about, you should be able to do that, you know, with artful cinematography that shows me what's going on.
You know, they've done it with a lot of people who cannot actually fight.
Sure.
Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Watch any Bruce Willis movie from the 90s.
Yeah.
Watch any Arnold movie. Arnold can't fight.
No.
They make him look like he can. So, I mean, I understand, too, you're also trying to, maybe you're trying to show, like, the speed of, like, how fast something like that happens and how frantic it is, like you said. But it's just, like, from the first fight in this movie,
yeah,
the camera started going, and here we go. And it's like someone cut up magazine clippings and like threw them on a floor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like shards of glass passing past.
I think,
or a mirror. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying right now.
I think it's kind of a scorched earth.
But I have to like lean back and I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on?
It's a scorched earth thing because you know, if you've never seen a movie that moves like this before, you're going to go, whoa, that was I didn't know where to look. I was like, the first time you see it, that's going to work. But maybe the third time you see something like this,
I'm so tired of it.
You're just sick of it.
Yeah.
You're just sick of it. And how much more interested would you be if we had come in here and sat down tonight and it was done in a different way? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
It's... this stuff doesn't cut anymore. You know, it's less pronounced this summer than it was last summer. I kept talking about the fact that we're in the bonkers bananas age of summer movies, where
sure,
everything
yeah.
is huge. Where it's
well,
if you're making Jurassic Park, you've got to have 17 dinosaurs fighting each other in an all-star dinosaur rumble. And if you're making Mad Max, you got to have a guy with a flamethrower guitar hang up the thing.
Does this mean that like does that mean people are stupid?
No.
I mean, what
I don't
is
think
it?
So at all. It's just we've entered a very over the top phase in mainstream tentpole movie making, like Winter
right.
Soldier. Things are big, and especially if you're part of a franchise and you just come back with, okay, this is another one of what we do, that doesn't cut it anymore.
Right.
If
right.
this is what, the fifth, the sixth?
Oh, geez,
we had
I
the
don't
Bourne.
Know.
I couldn't even tell you what the first one is. Is the Bourne Supremacy?
Well, he
the Bourne Ultimatum, the Bourne in the Bourne, the Bourne.
Well, it was
redundancy. The Bourne frivolous.
Bourne. It was the Bourne Identity, the yeah. Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Ultimatum, and then
the Bourne Hawkeye.
Yeah.
What was that one even called?
I don't remember.
The Bourne.
Well, Greengrass. He only directed the Supremacy and Ultimatum. Which is interesting because I thought he did all of them.
Who did Identity?
I don't know, but I'm about to find out.
All right. IMDb cast strikes again.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Doug Liman. Lehman.
Oh, he's done some stuff.
Edge of Tomorrow.
That was good.
But he produced all the other ones.
Well, that's probably a deal.
Yeah, he did like Edge of Tomorrow, which I thought was not bad.
Liked Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Jumper was not bad. It was kind of a fun thing.
Looper.
He did Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, that was okay.
Which, well, you know, now that I think about it, it had that little fast cut
yeah.
fighting. It did, which was annoying. But he directed Swingers and Go. How funny is that?
And then he moved on to this.
Like Jon Favreau hired him to direct Swingers.
Well, what can we say? But you know, I don't mind the cast of
didn't
this
Jon
movie.
Favreau write that? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I did not mind the cast. You know, Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon. He did
oh,
nothing
sure.
for me. He did
of course
nothing
we
for
do.
Me here. This is not something that I thought he had much to add. But as we said, that's just because of who the character is. Tommy Lee Jones is fine. I mean,
he's,
this is the kind of role he can do in his sleep.
But he's getting old.
He's getting he looks like a zombie in low lighting. Alicia Vikander, who just won the Oscar, by the way, for The Danish Girl. She was fine. She did what she had to do. Vincent Cassel, who you know from a lot of things, he's one of those faces. Black
stuff.
Swan. What more recently than Black Swan? He's not American, so he does. Is he French?
He's French, yeah.
That's you know.
Yeah.
That was kind of xenophobic. You know, he's one of those non-Americans. I just hadn't figured out what country.
Sean,
he was
you
from.
Were okay.
Yeah, that's all right. He did Derailed. He did Irreversible. You'll know him when you
but
see him.
But he does some drama.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's cool to see him like this, like hitman.
He was the highlight of the cast, I thought.
Yeah, he was cool, man. I liked him a lot. Brooding.
The one I would kind of be a little bit dismissive on is Julia Stiles. that 90s dreamboat.
Well, you know, I turned to you and I was like, when's the last time she was in a movie? Apparently, she does two or three a year, Sean.
Well, you know.
But no, I've
now
heard of
streaming
none of,
on demand.
Yeah, but you know? That's the thing. I think, I mean, she hasn't been in anything big in a long time.
Apparently.
Silver Linings Playbook.
What did she do in that?
I don't even remember.
I do not remember. She's not.
I mean, well, her big thing, it seems like after Dexter, she kind of fell off hard. She was in one whole season of Dexter, which she was really good, and that was a couple years after Bourne Ultimatum, but, and The Omen, remember she was the mom in The Omen?
No, she did not transition well out of, you know, your 10 Things I Hate About You
well, no,
era.
That's a long time ago. She was in tons of stuff.
Yeah, no, and I'm saying
and that's, was fine.
I'm saying that's what she was good at. She was good at the teen
oh,
stuff.
Oh, like Save the Last Dance?
Save the Last Dance and Oh.
And then she was just reading cue cards in the Bourne movies?
I was sitting there
thinking...
I think she's
okay.
And I don't know. Do you want... No, I'm not going to spoil that.
I thought she was good in Dexter.
I honestly thought that the way her character went in this movie...
Oh, she has a very large role in The Mindy Project.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, we would not know that. I did not watch that.
I've heard people have told me it's good. I think the way that her character was used in this movie was a response to the fact that she couldn't... She couldn't handle it. She was doing nothing. The one scene where she has a long conversation with Bourne, it felt like she was reading copy on a...
I agree.
On a shampoo commercial. It was like, and there's more. I have found out about your past. It was flat and like, she did not give a shit.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you too. I thought Alicia Vikander.
Yeah.
Thought she was pretty flat too. Now, granted, yeah. I know, hey, look, I know we're all CIA people, but she was just like a face talking.
Yeah, you got to put a little oomph into it.
I didn't, matter of fact, is this Greengrass's fault? Because nobody, everybody, there's no, maybe that's why it was so boring. Nobody had any passion or emotion in anything.
Here's what it was.
So straight-faced.
Give me a sentence, and I'll give you the Jason Bourne line reading of that sentence.
Okay.
Come up with the sentence.
I think my father was killed by the CIA.
I think my father was killed by the CIA. That's
pretty
every
much
line of this movie.
Pretty much
every line of this movie is, you know, it could, and all of them. Tommy Lee Jones is doing that. Alicia Vikander is doing that.
I just realized I gave a huge spoiler.
That's whoops.
Who cares?
Well, that's basically the plot of the film.
No,
leave it in. Leave it in.
I can't believe I did that.
I will.
You know what? It's your fault because you said it was a stream of consciousness episode.
I did.
I just said the first thing that came to my mind, which is
basically what the movie was about.
A huge plot of the movie.
I will. We'll record a little thing. When we're done here, we'll start a new recording and put that up front. So if you're listening, you've already heard this, where we warn people that a little while in, is anyone going to this like, for the plot?
I wonder what's happening with Jason Bourne's life.
Yeah.
Warn anyone. Who cares?
No.
That is not a huge... Like, oh, man.
Well, that was the other thing. That was the other thing.
Also, when the fuck... When did Jason Bourne's dad involved?
Probably one of them, and we just don't remember because these movies are boring.
They're forgettable.
Completely forgettable. Whatever. And now that the cat's out of the bag...
Well, we don't have to talk about it more.
No. All I'm going to say... No, I'm not going to get into the plot anymore. I'm going to say that was the other reason this was so uninteresting.
Yeah.
is the actual drive is just him trying to put together a few pieces about how he became Jason Bourne. And I don't care. It's not even an origin story where you see it. It's just someone asking other people, hey, what do you know about me? That's not dramatically interesting.
Oh, I know.
You know, they,
you're
they,
right.
They tack on, you know, the other half of this plot is kind of about information and WikiLeaks and, so you know, NSA stuff. But they the movie, it feels like the movie doesn't care about that. You know what right. I mean? There's maybe a half hour, 45 total minutes of business about this fake Mark Zuckerberg type guy, and is he going right. to work with the FBI? And it just feels like even the, you know, even the screen writer is like, I guess we got to put something topical in,
right,
and stretch this to 2 hours and 3 minutes. 203, by the way.
It was 203.
Yeah,
well, that was boring.
That was boring. I'm sleepy.
Me too.
I want to go
man.
To bed.
I know.
I almost
smack us up with some trailer trash real quick.
Yeah, we're not gonna, we'll skip the break and just make this a shorty-ish episode yeah. this week, because I know we're going to have a lot to say about Suicide Squad next week. Aaron, you want to mention our friends at Goods and Evil very quickly?
I mean, hey, you guys know that we love Goods and Evil shirts with all of our heart. You can go to goodsandevil.com, and you can save 10% on any order. That's a shirt. They have stickers. They have, like, little bags. They got all kinds of things. Actually, really funny, cool stickers. But along with horror and movie shirts and cool original designs, they also have a line of vegan shirts. If you're into that, go to goodsandevil.com. You'll save 10% on any order with the coupon code HANDLE.
Hey, that's the middle word in You Can't Handle the Truth.
Bingo. So go check out goodsandevil.com. Go peruse. Follow them on Facebook. You can find out some of their stuff. They're always at awesome cons. They do vegan cons. Do you know that?
That doesn't surprise me.
Vegan conventions.
Yeah.
But they also do like the sci-fi and the horror conventions and movie conventions and stuff like that and comic cons, because they got tons of awesome nerd stuff. So, including my favorite shirt of all time, the Camp Crystal Lake Camp Counselor shirt.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodsandevil.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got some trailer trash. Aaron, give us your snap reaction to The Great Wall.
Oh,
that was interesting.
You mean The Last Samurai, but The Last Samurai is Matt Damon.
And we're in China.
And we're in China, and it's on the Great Wall, and the Great Wall was actually built to fight dragons.
Right. Somewhere there's a Mongol.
That's not a spoiler.
There's a group of Mongolians who are like, hey, we were threatening too. We were scary enough.
I know, right?
You didn't have to. Visually, it looks very, you know, strong. Well, kind of has that, like,
it's
slightly westernized
version
of
Chinese director, I believe.
Yes.
And I tell you what, man, some of their stuff in the last, like, 10 years, they're, like, big blockbuster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool and stylized and, like, fast camera action. Not fast, choppy editing.
No.
But really exciting, like camera, like movements, and I don't know. It's just really dynamic.
It's directed by Zhang Zhimu, which I may be mispronouncing. I apologize
probably.
If I am. But he did Hero and House of Flying Daggers. Those two
are
very, very good.
Yeah.
And this kind of looks like a Hollywooded up version
yes.
of that. It'll be interesting to see how they explain why Matt Damon and apparently also Willem Dafoe are involved. Yeah, Willem Dafoe. Why not? Why not?
Because he was a Civil War officer and he's going right. to train them how to use muskets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Isn't that?
I think that's the plot of The Last Samurai, wasn't it? Or was that the plot of
The
Legend of Tarzan?
That's all of them.
That's any movie set between 1860 and 1910.
Yeah, they're training their military.
Yeah. Could be. That's a ways off. That was a 2017 trailer.
I feel like that's a movie that I'm going to see on a Friday afternoon
sure.
in Dayton, Ohio.
Sure.
When I'm performing there.
I do really enjoy the trailer for Girl on a Train.
Even though we laughed and I was like, Gone Girl on a Train?
Gone Girl 2.
Even
Train
the
Style?
The same font. Did you say Gone Girl 2 Turnstile?
I said Train Style. Train Spotting. No, it's you know, it looks like a fun is not the word for this, but it looks like a tense drama.
Very good thriller.
Good thriller. I don't know much about it. It's got a good cast.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'll probably be pretty good. It is very obvious that somebody said, it's very obvious that somebody said, Gone Girl hit, find the New York Times bestseller that's the most like Gone Girl and get it into production.
I mean, the cast is great. It looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. But that's, you know, those two movies. Okay. But then the third.
Oh, we've been trying to remember what the third trailer was for an hour, and Aaron just remembered.
M. Night Shyamalan's new film.
Oh, right. I had already blocked it out.
Dude.
I'm leaving.
All right, see you, dude. He really walked away. It is... Now, look. The last M. Night movie we saw was The Visit, which Sean said is the worst movie he has ever reviewed. And, Sean, you've been reviewing for 7 years?
7.5 years.
Look, I know you,
buddy.
So,
roughly... You know, I can't say it's the worst movie I've ever seen. I've seen some terrible movies. Yeah. But in terms of gone to a screening... To review, I mean, you're talking about, or got a disc at the end of the year. You're talking about probably, what?
Got 100 a year?
500 to 700, somewhere. Let's estimate 700 movies.
Yeah.
The Visit is the worst one. And nothing's close.
So, you know, no one ever, that disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't hear anything about it.
It made a little bit of money.
That's crazy.
But that was terrible.
And now, if you saw The Visit, please tell us your thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, M. Night's new movie coming out. Why do people keep giving him money? Because he has money. He probably produces it himself.
I can't even think.
It's called Split.
Oh, my. I'm putting the microphone back down.
Okay. At first, now, I misspoke to Sean and said... You know, they showed the trailer about these three girls getting abducted. And I heard that they were making
a... Unbreakable. They love them.
Yeah, right. Well, I heard they were making an actual, like, terrible drama movie about the actual girls that were kidnapped in Cleveland. Remember?
Yeah.
Now...
No, yeah. And it looked like that's what we were seeing for 30 seconds.
For the first minute of the trailer, you're like... Oh, wow, this is that movie about the Cleveland, like girls that got kidnapped. Like, this is terrible. And, like, I immediately thought, oh, this is going to be really rough to watch. Like, this is, wow, their story. You know what I mean? And then it was like, wait a second. What the hell is going on? Apparently, there's a guy who, by the way, the actor, I feel really bad because I feel like the actor that's in this, he is a really good actor.
It's James McAvoy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good actor. He has 27 personalities. That's what the trailer said. And it was like a Saturday Night Live character audition.
He goes into like Norman Bates' mother.
Oh,
at one point.
Right. And you're like, oh, that. And we're just explaining the trailer. And you're like, oh, no. He's also like his mother or his wife. And
then he's a 10-year-old girl. And then he's a
9-year-old boy. And then he's an old abusive man. And we're like, what the hell is going on? And then it said, from the director of The Sixth Sense, The Village. And we were like, oh, no.
Yep. Including the line of the trailer for me, and I won't be able to quote it exactly, was like some psychologist, remember in early 90s horror movies when they would have to figure out what was going on, so they would go and find like the demonology professor at the local college.
And they'd explain everything away?
Right. Wishmaster. Wishmaster's good.
Yeah.
I like Wish.
Or no. As bad as having a flashback to explain what's going on?
Right. So they go to they bring in the person, and she's like, people with multiple personalities can change their bodies... chemistry.
That's what she said.
To fit their person. No, they can't.
No, they can't.
They cannot do that.
No, they cannot.
They cannot.
And then they show him in the trailer like
they're not X-Men.
Writhing. They show him writhing in pain, like his bones are shifting.
Like they dipped Wolverine in the thing.
Yeah,
like
that's, it was really like he was turning into a werewolf.
It was like Bruce Banner.
Oh my god.
Oh my god! It looked horrible.
And McAvoy, God bless him.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like a couple.
He's great.
You see him do a couple of the characters, and you're like, he's a good actor. Good for him.
Yeah.
Like, he can do it, but sweet God.
And aren't we supposed to, not to get all social justice warrior on you, aren't we supposed to be done making movies about someone has a mental illness so they kidnap and kill everybody? Aren't
Especially
we,
women.
Aren't we done with that?
Three of them.
I'm going home.
Hey, Gone Girl on a Train.
Gone Girl on a Train looks good.
That looks like the woman's a crazy psychopath.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's
finally equal, Sean?
Here, we'll go out on this.
I'm kidding.
We'll go out on this because somebody asked me, and it's a good question. Yeah. A bunch of trailers came out this week from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Watched a bunch of them. What was your favorite?
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Because there's a lot, dude.
Yeah, hit a few.
There's a lot. Well, number one, I mean, it was cool to see. First, let's start off with Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
It was cool to see Wonder Woman. It was cool to see her in World War One. It was cool to see her lasso that looks like it needs a little touch up because it looked like it was just a glowing. It just did not look like a cartoon.
Yeah.
But it was like it was cool to see Wonder Woman in battle. But I was like, you know, they're gonna screw it up. They're gonna screw it.
Yeah. No faith. Same with the Justice League trailer.
Also, speaking of aren't we tired of this? The whole Wonder Woman trailer, even though she says a very I am woman, hear me roar kind of line, the whole trailer revolves around this dude.
Yeah.
This soldier.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. And I was like, well, that doesn't make up the fact that this random dude was in most of your trailer.
Yeah.
And it's about Wonder Woman.
With you on that. But the Justice League trailer.
Don't care.
You know, there were moments of it I liked. I liked The Flash. Don't care.
Yeah.
Batman's going around building the Avengers. Oops, sorry, the Justice League.
Not going to be funny.
No.
Not going to be good.
Not going to be good.
I just don't think it's going to be good.
No. The one that I want to talk about that I loved.
Hit me.
Kong Skull Island.
Did you?
I thought it looks fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of indifferent. I was
oh,
like.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, that looks cool.
Yeah, no, I thought John Goodman looked awesome in it.
Oh, yeah.
I love to see Brie Larson getting her big check.
Yeah.
Her big post-Oscar check.
Brie Larson. Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. That's some good casting.
Pretty cool.
Because, you know, you expect it. And look, I like casting Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, but that's who you think of. You think of, like, a tall, like, you know, action movie.
She'll get cut up.
Oh, I know she'll get cut up. I'm just saying, you think of like the tall action movie.
Yeah, but it's cool, yeah.
You know, but to see someone who I know as a tremendous actress,
right.
And in the past as a comedic actress, too.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Be the selection for Captain Marvel. That's awesome.
Look at Robert Downey Jr.
Sure.
Who would have known?
Sure.
Who would have thought?
Exactly. Right? Exactly. But no, I thought I think in the thing that I read, they said one of the producers or somebody in the director said, yeah, in this Kong movie, we wanted to make Apocalypse Now with King Kong as Kurtz.
Right, right.
And it's
right.
Like, yep, I'm on board for that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, my number one trailer from Comic-Con, I watched it with my kids, especially Luke the Nuke, my son.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Probably about 7 times. Was Lego Batman.
That was hilarious.
Dude.
Life doesn't give you seatbelts.
Dude, my son walked around all day, life doesn't give you seatbelts. And then he was laughing hysterically when Robin rips his pants off.
Yeah. That.
Come on, Batman, let's get to it. Michael Cera, interesting choice.
Yeah.
But funny.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Zach Galifianakis as the Joker.
Get out.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Oh, that's great.
And Will Arnett that's is great. Just hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yes. He's so good at that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. He's pretty much Job.
Yeah. And what a big turnaround from, you know, when they announced they're making a Lego movie, and me and everyone else are like, really? They're making a movie out of Legos?
And now
it's like, yes, Lego Batman.
You know what I was telling my wife the other day is that, you know, apparently quite a while ago, we'll end on this. Quite a while ago, I don't know when. I'd have to look it up. Lego got merchandising and basically all rights to Legoize and do whatever they want mm-hmm. to any characters. And when they started making movies in them, I think that like people like Marvel and DC, and they're just like, hey, wait a second. You can't make a, oh, shit, you can.
Right.
It's in your paperwork.
That's why in the Lego movie, it's and like, hey, here's Gandalf and the Ninja Turtles yep. and Han Solo hanging
out. You gave us rights.
Yeah.
As long as it was our design.
Right.
You gave us rights to the character.
That's so great.
I know. And yeah. I wonder, like, you figure they're not get like DC's not getting a ton of money.
No.
I mean, they got the rights as their character. They created Batman, like the likeness mm-hmm. of Lego.
Mm-hmm.
And because I read somewhere that like Lego got all like just got this lump of licensing and for like 100 years mm-hmm. or something. Someone's got to correct me.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, oh, shit, you guys are making Pixar quality movies.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And they're kicking themselves.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, just give me the Lego Batman voice telling your kids to clean their rooms on the way out here.
Hey, clean your room and don't go see Jason Bourne because we didn't rate it because we don't have to.
Four.
It's definitely four.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.